new as well as frequently used whiteboards, bulletin boards, screens, demonstration areas, and displays. Keep traffic areas clear. Allow enough clearance to move up and down and around the last seat in the row. Keep clear access to storage areas, bookcases, cabinets, and doors. Learn the regulations regarding fires, earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, and other natural disasters, and have the classroom ready for such emergencies. Make sure that you have enough chairs for the work areas. Be sure that you have all necessary materials for your work areas, such as books, lab supplies, media, activity cards, tools, and instruments. Test any electrical or mechanical equipment to make sure it works before you intend to use it. Use tote trays, boxes, coffee cans, plastic containers, or whatever to store the materials students will need. Arrange your room for these to be readily accessible to the students. Prepare the student area. Save yourself from having a throbbing head. Plan areas for students' belongings now. Provide space for their binders, backpacks, books, lunch bags, umbrellas, shoes, show-and-tell items, lost-and-found items, skateboards, and projects. Provide a space for students to hang their jackets. Prepare the wall space. The most effective classes are those where students are self-disciplined, self-motivated, and self-responsible learners. Teach your students to consult the bulletin boards for assignments and information on what to do and how to do it. Refer to chapters 15, 19, and 20. Cover one or more bulletin boards with colored paper and trim and leave it bare. The purpose of this bulletin board is to display student work, not to be decorated by a teacher to look like a department store show window. Display your classroom rules in a prominent place. You can relocate it after the first week. Refer to Chapter 18. Post procedures, duties, calendar, clock, emergency information, maps, schedules, menus, charts, decorations, birthdays, and student work. Have a consistent place for listing the days or week's assignments. Post a large example of the proper heading or style for papers to be done in class. Post examples of tests students will take, assignments they will turn in, and papers they will write. Display the feature topic, theme, chapter, or skill for the day or the current unit. Prepare the bookcases. Do not place the bookcases or display walls where they obstruct any lines of vision. Rotate materials on the shelves and leave out only those items you are willing to allow students to handle. Do not place books or other loose materials near an exit where they can easily disappear or where they may hide emergency information. Prepare the teacher area. Maximize your proximity to students and frequently used materials and equipment. Time is lost when teachers and students waste steps to reach each other, gather materials, or use classroom equipment. The closer you are to your students, the more you will minimize your classroom behavior problems. When the teacher is physically close to the students and can get to them quickly, their on-task behavior increases. When the teacher is far from a student and cannot get to the student quickly, the student is more likely to stop working and disrupt others. Maximize your proximity to minimize your problems. A teacher's discipline problems are directly proportional to the teacher's distance from the students. Place the teacher's desk, file, and other equipment so they do not interfere with the flow of traffic. Do not create a barrier between yourself and your students. Place your desk so that you can move quickly to a student to assist, reinforce, or discipline. Place the teacher's desk so that you can easily monitor the classroom while at your desk or working with individual students. Place the teacher's desk away from the door so that no one can take things from your desk and quickly walk out. If you choose to have everything on and in your desk treated as personal property, make this clear during your teaching of classroom procedures and routines. Prepare the teaching materials. Have a letter ready with the materials you want your students to bring from home. Have a place and a procedure ready to store these materials when they bring the items to the classroom. Have a method ready for matching students to a desk. Have name cards ready and on the students' desks. Or use an overhead transparency or PowerPoint slide correlating desk arrangement with students' names. Have your basic materials ready for the first week of school. These include books, papers, pencils, rulers, glue, chalk, felt pens, stapler, tape, clipboard, crayons, felt tip markers, construction paper, instruments, calculators, supplies, manipulatives, playground equipment, and computer software. Buy a bell or a timer if you wish to use either as a signal. Find and organize containers for your materials. Use copy paper boxes, crates, coffee cans, milk cartons, and shoe boxes to store materials. Label your containers and place in each an inventory card listing everything that should be in the container. Store seldom used materials out of the way, but be sure they are inventoried and ready for immediate use. Place electronic media near outlets and where the students will not trip over the wires. Have an extension cord and an adapter plug handy. Organize and file your masters, lesson plans, and computer disks. Do likewise with your extra worksheets so they are immediately ready for any students who are absent or who need extra help. Finally, prepare yourself. Keep your briefcase, handbag, keys, and other valuables in a safe and secure location. Have emergency materials handy, such as tissue, bacterial wipes or gel, rags, paper towels, soap, first aid kit, and extra lunch money. Store these for your use, not the students. Obtain a teacher's manual for each textbook you will use in your class. Obtain a supply of the forms that are used for daily school routines, such as attendance, tardy slips, hall passes, and referral forms. You will use these forms each day, so place them where you can find them immediately. To be an effective teacher, be prepared. Teachers who are ready maximize student learning and minimize student misbehavior. The effective teacher, 1, prepares. 2, prepares the classroom for effective work. 3, maximizes proximity to the students. 4, prepares a classroom environment that is organized and safe. 13. How to introduce yourself to your class. The key idea, right or wrong, accurate or not, your reputation will precede you. Your image enhances sales. Hallmark, when you care enough to send the very best. Lexus, relentless pursuit of perfection. Timex, it takes a licking and keeps on ticking. De Beers, a diamond is forever. L'Oreal, because you're worth it. The way to introduce yourself on the first day can determine how much respect and success you will have for the rest of the school year. Your reputation precedes you. People have reputations. You know of people who are sweet, kind, honest, industrious, and dependable, and others who are sleazy, curmudgeonly, arrogant, lazy, and undependable. Businesses have reputations. Some have terrible service, sell shoddy merchandise, and do not guarantee their products. Other businesses can be trusted consistently. Companies with good images, such as IBM, Coca-Cola, Lexus, Hallmark, Nordstrom, and Hewlett-Packard, enhance their sales. They know that people buy from companies they trust. Their image precedes a sale. Whether you want it to or not, your reputation will precede you. Even before you first see your students, your success at winning their respect and attention may have already been predetermined by your reputation. If you have a good reputation, the students will enter your classroom with high expectations, and this will work to your benefit. Building a reputation starts your first day and continues from there. A good reputation opens doors for you. If you have a good reputation, people, students, will flock to you. Exhibit integrity and honesty and be approachable. The buzz of the students will reflect these positive traits. If you have a poor reputation, the students will enter with low expectations, and this will be to your detriment. The buzz of the students will be the buzz saw of your demise in the classroom. Whether you like it or not, students will talk about you. Parents will talk about you. The administration will talk about you, and colleagues will talk about you. Everyone likes and supports a winner. Parents want their children in the classes of teachers with outstanding reputations. Teachers with poor reputations often get what's left after all the sifting and shuffling of students and teachers has been done. You will attract better students, have a minimum of problems on the first day of school, and generally be much happier with your job if you have students who want to be in your class. It makes no sense to be a teacher that no one wants to have as a teacher. Protect your reputation by maintaining a positive image. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. A reputation of love. Joan M. Cousins teaches in Ohio. On the last day of the school year, she asks her seventh grade classes to write letters of advice to the next year's seventh graders. Because her seventh graders are among the most anxious in the building on the first day, she distributes the letters to the incoming seventh graders. She tells them the letters are meant to help them adjust to life at the school. After reading the letters, their assignment is to answer a letter and compare their own experiences during the first week of school to the experiences and advice from the present eighth grade student whose letter they received. Of all the comments made by the new students, the one that surfaced most often was, "I know that I'm going to like Mrs. Cousins' class because she said she loves kids." Preschool invitation or visit. Here are some welcoming techniques used by effective teachers. Apply and adapt the examples to your situation. 1. Send a letter home to parents before school begins. Tell the parents that you are looking forward to having their child in your class. Ask them to put the date of the school's open house on their calendars and explain why it is important to attend. You will be explaining homework, grading, discipline, and classroom procedures. Include information on what materials you want the students to have ready for school. 2. Send a letter home to each student before school begins. Connect before school starts. Send a postcard of welcome. Email the family. Tell the students who you are. Invite them to call or email you if they have questions. Help them prepare by listing the materials they will need. They will be ready if you are ready. Do not surprise your students. Tell them your expectations, not theirs. Here's an example. Dear Brooke, I'm glad you're in my class this year. I'll see you on Tuesday in room 25. Please bring this card with you. It will be your admission ticket to class. Your first assignment will be on your desk. You will be seated in row E, number 2. See you soon. Sincerely, Miss Abbott. 3. Visit the home of each student before school begins. Check to be sure that this is an appropriate thing to do. Introduce yourself. Bring with you the letters just described. Share with the parents how they can help. On the first day of school, a student wonders, "Am I in the right room? What will I be doing this year? Who is the teacher as a person? Where am I supposed to sit? How will I be graded? What are the rules in this classroom? Will the teacher treat me as a human being? Am I in the right room? Douglas Brooks discovered that the very first thing a student wants to know on the first day of school is, "Am I in the right room?" Finding the correct room on the first day of school can be one of the most frightening experiences for a student. There is nothing more embarrassing than to discover that you are in the wrong room, 15 minutes after class has begun. Dear Dr. Wong, when I came home from your in-service meeting, I asked my 13-year-old son the following question. What's the most frightening thing about the first day of school? After thinking for a moment, he said, two things. Having the teacher mispronounce your name and walking into the wrong classroom. Classroom teacher, Garland, Texas. How to communicate quickly with parents. Communicating with parents and students has never been easier. Use the internet to your advantage to convey words of welcome before students arrive in your classroom. Let everyone know you're wired for learning. Bring your classroom to the parents and let them be an observer to all that goes on. You don't have to be a technology expert to make it happen. Involve the students in the planning and dissemination of information. Parents will appreciate the immediacy of the contact, and you will appreciate the time-saving benefits of using the internet as a tool of engagement. Here are some ways to get started. 1. Before school begins, send an email introducing yourself to the parents. These are items to include in the email. A picture of you, an audio or video welcome, a picture of the classroom, beginning and ending time of school, general curriculum for the first month, best ways to get in touch with you, ways you'll communicate with them, expectations of students, homework policy, special supplies needed, dates to save on their calendars, eagerness you have for the school year, an attachment letter of welcome to the student. This letter includes the first homework assignment to be brought to class on the first day of school. Make it fun and easy. 2. Many school districts host teacher-made websites. Use the site to share homework, projects, and what the students are learning. If your school doesn't host a site, most teenagers know how to make one, if you don't. Ask for help. Start small. Just post homework and expand as you get comfortable with the technology. 3. Host a webcam session. Create a link for parents to log in live to watch a lesson being presented, the culmination of a class project, or a special celebration. Keep the camera off except for times you want to broadcast. 4. Use your interactive whiteboard to accumulate and store work and messages. At the end of the day, download, save, and email to parents. For those without email, print it for students to take home to share. 5. Blog. In simple terms, a blog is a website where you write your thoughts on an ongoing basis. The latest information shows up at the top, so your visitors can read what's new. You can choose whether you want to accept comments at your blog site or use it as a one-way street of communication. In 2003, an estimated 93% of public school classrooms had internet access. The technology is there for you to use not only in the classroom as a teaching tool, but as a means of keeping the lines of communication open with parents and guardians wherever they may be in the world. How to greet students on day one. Stand at the classroom door with a big smile and a ready handshake. Every day. You do this when company comes or when meeting people. Airline, restaurant, and auto dealership personnel do it. Effective teachers do what is obvious, not what everyone else is doing at school. If you're the only one standing at the door with a smile, does that make you wrong and the others right? Of course not. It makes you more effective at what you do. Here is a successful technique used by many effective teachers for greeting students on the first day of school. Step 1. Post the following information next to the classroom door. Your name, room number, section or period, if appropriate, grade level or subject, an appropriate welcome or greeting. The students can see the information on the wall and can compare it to the correct information on their registration forms. This is no different from finding flight information displayed on a screen at an airport, a doctor's name on the office door, or movie information, times, and prices at a theater box office. Bond with your students. Jackie Rauthenstein of New Jersey has a welcome sign on her classroom door that says, "When you enter this little room, consider yourself one of the special members of a group who enjoys working and learning." And the first letter of each line, read down, spells welcome. Effective teachers, when possible, place students' names on their desks. This is highly cherished by those students who do not have a place to call home at home. Step 2. Stand at the door on the first day of school. Have a smile on your face, hand ready to shake the students' hands, and a look that says you can't wait to meet them. Chris Bennett, a theater arts teacher in Tennessee, gives his students a theater ticket when he greets them at the door of the auditorium, which is their classroom. Step 3. As they stand there wondering if you are the right teacher and this is the correct room, welcome them to a new school year and tell them the following information: your name, room number, section or period if appropriate, anything else appropriate such as seating assignment. Stephen C. Zikafoos of Florida has a trifold ready for distribution. Welcome to World Geography. Step 4. Check each student's registration card, and if the student is in the wrong place or is lost, help the student or find a guide who will. Step 5. After you greet a student, the student should be able to enter the classroom and see the same information displayed in the room: your name, room number, section or period if appropriate, grade level or subject, an appropriate welcome or greeting. Because the students are exposed to the same information 3 times, it is highly unlikely that any students will be in the wrong place on the first day of school. Their anxiety level and their tendency to be confrontational are reduced, and they will feel welcome and at ease. What has just been suggested as an effective and cordial way to start a new year should be obvious. Have you ever gone somewhere on an errand or for an appointment and been unable to find the right address, building, or office? You know how frustrating that can be. Everything possible should be done to welcome the students and to make sure they know where to go and how to get there on time. I love to stand at the door on the first day with a giant smile on my face, hand stuck out in an invitational pose, waiting for those little bundles of joy to come down the hall. How not to start the first day of school. The ineffective teacher suddenly appears through the door just as the bell rings. The teacher's name and the room number are nowhere to be found. The teacher regards the class with an icy stare. The first day of school goes like this. 1. The teacher stands behind the desk, glaring, inspecting everyone walking in with a look that says, "You're infringing on my space." 2. The teacher never mentions his or her name, the room number, the class, the grade level, or the period. 3. The teacher announces that he or she will call the roll. 4. The teacher also announces that as the roll is called, the seating assignments will be changed so that everyone is seated in alphabetical order. A collective groan arises. 5. The teacher calls the first student and points to the student sitting in the first chair and demands, "Up." That student rolls his eyes, shuffles forward, and leans against the wall. 6. The teacher then points to the first student and says, "You, sit there." 7. As each student is dislodged from his or her chair, students lounge along the wall. 8. The students are all looking at each other, shaking their heads. Who is this disorganized person? Our teacher? It's going to be a long year. Seating chart and first assignment. If you choose to have assigned seats, tell each student this fact upon entering the door. Do not rearrange the seating after the class is all seated. The students will question why they have to move and why they can't sit near a friend. How to help students find their assigned seats. Have names on place cards on the desks. Have names written on a seating chart transparency or a PowerPoint slide that is projected onto a screen. As you greet students at the door, give them an index card with a letter and a number on it, such as B5, A8, C3, and ask them to find their seats based on the seating chart that is projected. Do not use this method if you think it will be too difficult for your students to figure out two coordinates. You want them in their seats when the bell rings, not running around confused. As the students go to their assigned seats, inform them they will find their first assignment at their seat or posted. Tell them to start to work on it immediately. The first assignment should be short, interesting, and easy to complete. It should lead to success for all students. It may simply be an information form that will not be scored. You greatly increase the probability that school will start successfully for you and your students when these 4 points are true. 1. You have your room ready. 2. You are at the door. 3. You have assigned seats. 4. You have the first assignment ready. The important thing is to make a statement to your students about your efficiency and competence as a classroom manager and teacher. What you do on the first day may well determine how much respect and success you will have for the rest of the school year. Sharing who you are. Display some information about yourself. Post your diploma. Graphically describe your personality and expectations with interesting world maps or photos of places you've visited, movie posters, etc. Limit the display of personal items such as family photos or your own children's artwork. The more your students know about your personality, the more likely they are to respect you. However, the more they know about your personal life, the less likely they are to view you as their teacher. As soon as possible, put something on a bulletin board from each student with the student's name on it. Displaying something from every student makes each one feel like a part of the class. The more they know about one another, the more likely they are to identify with and respect one another as equals. How students are to enter the room. It may be possible to meet and line up your students in an area outside your classroom. This is an ideal strategy to use for teaching students how to enter the classroom procedures while welcoming them to class. You need to begin teaching procedures and routines the moment you meet students at the door on the first day of school. More on this in Chapter 19. Ask any student who enters the room inappropriately to return to the door and enter appropriately. You do not send the student out of the room, but rather to the door. You do not want to send anyone out of the room in the very first minute. Out of the room has a negative, humiliating connotation. Do not make dubious remarks like this. Try coming in again correctly. We walk into this room like ladies and gentlemen. You walk in properly, understand? Rather, calmly but firmly do the following. 1. Ask the student to return to the door. 2. Tell the student why. 3. Give directions for correctly entering the room. 4. Check for understanding. 5. Acknowledge the understanding. Example. Todd, please come back to the door. I am sorry, but that is not the way you enter our classroom. You were noisy, you did not go to your seat, and you pushed Anne. When you enter this classroom, you walk in quietly, go directly to your seat, and get to work immediately on the assignment that is posted. Are there any questions? Thank you, Todd. Now show me that you can go to your seat properly. Don't forget the importance of using the student's name, of saying please, and saying thank you. Refer to Chapter 10. Your manner and voice should be gentle and calm. Smile generously, but be firm. Your voice should communicate that you are not the least bit flustered or angry. You are simply in control and know what you expect from your students, and you are communicating this expectation. It is a mistake to let any misbehavior, such as entering a room inappropriately, go unchallenged under the rationale that you will have time to deal with this later. Effective teachers know that it will be much more difficult to correct misbehavior at a later date. Ineffective teachers bark and yell, have no guidelines or expectations, and assume that misbehavior will correct itself. Asking students to enter the classroom according to a set of procedures indicates there are definite boundaries to what they can and cannot do in your classroom. It is important that you state the correct procedure for entering the room at any time of the day. Rehearse this procedure until it becomes automatic. Praise the students when it is done properly and encourage them to make it a routine every day. It is best to save what has been explained in this paragraph until after you have introduced yourself. How to speak to the class. Stand up when you address the class and speak in short, clear sentences or phrases. Students have a way of turning off long, complex sentences. Your purpose is to establish sureness and understanding, not to impress with your intelligence. Most importantly, students will gauge their confidence in you by how you say what you want to say. You do not need to speak loudly. The most effective teachers have a firm but gentle voice. Learn to speak loudly with your tone, not your volume. When you speak softly, the class listens carefully. You modulate the noise level of the class by the loudness of your voice. And on those rare occasions when you may need to raise your voice, you will have twice as much impact. Learn to use nonverbal language. A nod, a smile, a stare, a frown, a raised eyebrow, or a gesture is often all that is needed, and it does not even disturb the class at work. Body language can speak volumes. Use it to manage the classroom and minimize disruptions. Your important first words. There are two major things you want to state at the outset on the first day of school: your name and your expectations. It's in your best interest not only to tell the class your name, but to pronounce it so they will call you by the name you want. Students want to know who you are as a person and if you will treat them as people. It is important that you dispel any fears they may have about being in your class. The best way to do this is to smile, exude caring, and communicate positive expectations. One teacher's welcome. Welcome. Welcome to another school year. My name is Mr. Wong. There it is on the chalkboard. It is spelled W-O-N-G and is pronounced Wong. I would like to be addressed as Mr. Wong, please. Thank you. I am looking forward to being your teacher this year. Relax. I am a veteran teacher with over 30 years' experience. Outside of class, I go to workshops, conferences, professional meetings, college classes, and seminars. I also read the professional journals and work together with my fellow teachers in professional organizations. I keep up to date in my teaching skills. Most important, I love to teach. I enjoy teaching, and I am proud to be a teacher. So you can relax. You are in good hands this year with me. You are going to have one of the greatest educational experiences of your life. This classroom will be well organized, and you will feel well cared for while you are in it. We will not only study, But I will also share with you some life skills and secrets that will help you succeed in the years ahead. I can assure you that if you should run into me at the mall 25 years from now, you will say, "You were right, Mr. Wong. That was the most memorable, exciting, and fascinating class I ever had." So, welcome. You will, on the first days of school, learn to begin many of your sentences with, "You will." An alternative would be, "The class procedure is..." The first few days are critical. This cannot be stressed enough. Your mission is to establish student habits, called procedures in this book, or routines. If not, students will develop their own habit patterns in classes where teachers do not teach procedures and communicate expectations. These habit patterns spread, and soon the entire class develops its own agenda, its own curriculum, and its own set of procedures. It's the third day of school, perhaps, and you have already lost your class. The effective teacher has a classroom management plan right from the start to prevent the classroom from becoming a breeding ground for confusion and discontent. Script for the first day of school. You are probably as anxious as your students on the first day of school. Effective teachers have a script ready for the first day of school. As you prepare your room and yourself for this all-important day, prepare for the students who will spend their first day with you. They will come with equal amounts of anticipation and anxiety. You can heighten the anticipation and ease your nerves with a well-organized and welcoming room. You can allay their anxieties with a well-organized lesson. With a first day of school script, they will see that you know what you are doing. Melissa Boone Hand of Texas began her first year of teaching in an elementary school with a script. She detailed what she would wear, where she would stand, what she would say, how the room would be arranged, and what the students would do. She was ready. The students became ready. Today, she is a successful teacher leader. Sasha Mike, a middle school teacher in Washington, had an assistant principal who did not think she would last a week. What terrible expectations! Today, her colleagues think she is awesome. John T. Schmidt of Illinois is so successful that the Homewood Flossmoor High School District in Illinois uses him as a demonstration teacher in the district's new teacher induction program, after teaching for just 2 years. Students will perform better when they know what the teacher expects of them. Being prepared is the best strategy to use to prevent problems, because if you do not structure your classroom, the students will structure the classroom for you. Go be. First day of school scripts. The scripts of these successful teachers, Melissa, Sasha, and John, are in the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 13 at effectiveteaching.com. Your room is an introduction to you. Have a place ready with a schedule, rules and procedures, a calendar, and a big welcome. Have an assignment posted before the students walk in. For consistency, post the assignment in the same location every day. Have your script ready for the first day of school. The students now know what the classroom expectations are. They have an immediate assurance that you are organized and ready for what matters most. Their success. The effective teacher, 1, cultivates a positive reputation. 2, communicates with parents and students before school starts. 3, greets the students with positive expectations. 4, has the seating assignments and first class assignment ready. 14. How to arrange and assign seating. The key idea: arrange seats for the students to accomplish what you want them to accomplish. Greet your students as they enter the classroom. "Good morning. Here's your seating assignment." your very first set of directions to your class. How the class reacts to your first directions will be an indication of how students will react to your directions for the remainder of the year. You can tell right away how successful you will be in giving directions by the success of your first request. Your very first instructions to your students will probably be to tell each one of them where to sit. They will react in one of two ways. One, they will follow your orders promptly and courteously. Two, they will grumble and argue over everything you want them to do for the rest of the year. Yes, the rest of the year. Here's why. One of the most successful techniques is to meet and greet your students at the door as they enter the classroom, or line them up in an area for your greeting and instructions before entering the classroom. Greeting students sets a positive tone for the school day. Succeeding with your first request. The effective teacher is present in the room or at the door when the students arrive, assigns seating to everyone upon entering the room, has an assignment on each desk ready for the students. What you do the instant a student enters the school, the library, the office, or the classroom communicates immediately if the student is welcome there. The teacher is standing at the door with a smile and an extended hand to shake. The teacher bids everyone to enter, and each student receives a non-threatening smile that conveys a message of safety. The welcome mat or red carpet is at the door for the class. This conveys a positive message to the students. People welcome people. Textbooks, chalkboards, lectures, worksheets, and examinations do not welcome students to school. Teachers, bus drivers, food service workers, administrators, secretaries, aides, custodians, and counselors invite students to have a successful experience at school. Upon entering the classroom, the students find a pleasant environment. Your name, the room number, the period, and the class name are on the chalkboard. Directions for seating, whether assigned or open, are reiterated. Information about the first assignment, which is on the desks or posted for all to see, is clearly stated and tells the students to get to work even before the bell rings. The message you are relating to these students is that the classroom is a safe, positive, work-oriented environment where every second will be devoted to success and learning. If students are invited to have successful experiences in the classroom, they will know they are welcome, appreciated, cared for, and wanted. And if the students feel wanted, they will be more likely to accede to your directions and requests. How to make your first request effective. Step 1. Check each registration card at the door. Step 2. Put a friendly smile on your face. Step 3. Look each student in the eyes and verbally welcome and acknowledge each one. Hello, come on in. Or, glad to see you, are inviting comments. Step 4. Lower your voice to a firm but soft tone. Speak slowly and tell the student if seating is open or assigned. Step 5. Follow this with, when you sit down, you will find an activity on your desk, or posted. I think you will enjoy doing it. Please begin working on it right away. Thank you. Failing with your first request. The ineffective teacher is nowhere in sight when students arrive, reshuffles the whole class after everyone has found a seat, grumbles about all the administrative details that must be done before class can begin. Imagine the students walking into the classroom with no teacher in sight. Some students find a chair, others wander around, but they all ask, "Who's the teacher? Is this the right room? Is this history?" And they all respond, "I don't know." The bell rings and suddenly a teacher appears from an office or from around a corner, like a monster from a dungeon. It is Cold Start Charlie, the perennial ineffective teacher. He can always be found in the faculty lounge, gulping coffee and puffing away on his cigarettes. Before the first day of school, he's already griping about the same thing he's been griping about for years. Hurrying down to his classroom, he arrives just as the bell rings. The students immediately read the menacing look that dares anyone to breathe out of unison. He never introduces himself and may or may not identify the class or period. Standing in front of the class with the posture of a drill sergeant, he says, "When I call your name, come up and bring your registration card for me to sign." When seemingly everyone has been registered, he looks up and asks if everyone has been called. One hand goes up. Discovering that the student is in the wrong classroom, Cold Start Charlie tells him where he should be. As the student leaves the room, all eyes are focused on him, with two messages behind the stairs. "Dummy, how can you be so stupid as to be in the wrong room?" And, "Isn't he lucky not having to put up with this jerk of a teacher for the rest of the year?" A student has just been humiliated because a teacher was not prepared and acted in a non-invitational manner. And the student's first impression of Cold Start will be reflected in their work for the rest of the year. Your first request will be ineffective, 1, if you are not in the room when the students enter, 2, if you do not check any of the registration cards before the students enter the room, 3, if you do not tell the students your name, the room number, the period or grade level, and the class, 4, if you do not welcome the students, 5, if you reshuffle the class after everyone has taken a seat, 6, if you grumble that you have to do administrative work, 7, if you have provided no assignment and the students have nothing to do while you register the class. Seating arrangements or seating assignments? Should I assign seats or allow students to sit wherever they choose? That question is appropriate only after you decide what you want the students to do. Seating assignment is not the issue. Seating assignments come after seating arrangements are determined. Seating arrangements take priority. The purpose of arranging seats is to accomplish classroom tasks. The teacher must know what the students are to accomplish before arranging the seating. Then the desks are arranged to maximize the accomplishment of the tasks and to minimize behavior problems. After the seats are arranged, students may be assigned seating in whatever order is desired. Arrange seats for communication. Seating arrangements may not be the most exciting topic, but the placement of chairs can profoundly affect the outcome of a lesson. The main purpose of a seating arrangement is communication. The effective teacher uses a variety of activities to engage the students during the year. A variety of seating arrangements will be used. The best seating arrangement is conducive to communicating. How people communicate will determine the success of what you want to accomplish. Is the teacher communicating with the students? Are the students communicating with each other? Are the students communicating with an audience? Are the students communicating with a computer? Are the students communicating with a distance learning teacher? Chris Bennett teaches theater arts. His class is in the auditorium and the seats are bolted to the floor in rows. He communicates with the students, they communicate with each other, and they communicate with the other students on the stage in this manner. What better way to have a sense of the audience than to sit in rows of seats? Lemoyne Motz is a high school science teacher. His classrooms feature inquiry-based science activities. The students are in lab groups, meaning they are in small groups engaged in activities. This same arrangement is used whenever small groups are engaged in work, regardless of grade level or subject. Tony Tringale teaches fifth grade. During social studies, he finds that a horseshoe shape arrangement is best because of his lecture discussion style. He talks and he leads lots of discussions. In this seating arrangement, the students see him and they see each other. Angela Garcia teaches performing arts. During music, her younger students sit on the floor facing her. An X on the floor indicates where they are to sit. Her older students stand in rows of risers facing her. Robin Barlack teaches preschool special education. For her students, several of whom are severely disabled, the students sit in a half circle on the rug in the same place each day, facing her during large group time. Steve Guyman teaches physical education. There are no seats unless you consider the bleacher seats in fixed rows. Sometimes the students stand in columns and rows, sometimes huddled around the coach, and sometimes in lines facing different directions for drills. Seating arrangements. Seats are arranged to coincide with the specific task you have designed. Examples: first day registration and procedures, cooperative learning, listening to a lecture, sitting to hear a story, class discussion and interaction, small group activity, taking a test, individual research or desk work. Seating assignments. Seats are assigned to maximize learning and classroom management and minimize behavioral problems. Examples: by age, by height, in alphabetical order, for peer group tutoring, for paired problem solving, placing lower performing and more challenging students at the front of the room. Seating arrangements. To determine seating arrangements for the accomplishment of classroom tasks, you need to ask the following three questions in order. 1. What do I want to do? Do I want to read a story, do small group activities, teach discipline, procedures, and routines, lecture, show a video, conduct a chorus, lead exercises, have individual study? 2. What kind of seating arrangements are possible? You may be limited by the size or shape of the room or the available tables and chairs in the room. 3. Which seating arrangement will I use? Different seating arrangements need to be used to accomplish various tasks efficiently. The students must sit in a way that helps facilitate what you want them to accomplish. There is no one form of seating that should be permanently used the entire school year. Change the seating in your room as frequently as you deem necessary for your purposes. The only way for students to learn how your classroom is organized and structured is to have the seats arranged so that every pair of eyes will be looking at you. If you want to teach your rules, procedures, and routines, do not arrange the room in a series of centers or circles in which half the students have their backs to you. Discipline rules, procedures, and routines are explained in chapters 18 to 20. These are best taught with the chairs arranged in columns and rows. What if the chairs cannot be moved? If the chairs are bolted in place, you are restricted to that arrangement and must adapt your activities to that seating plan. You may be sharing a room that is used primarily for a different grade level or subject. Or, more importantly, you may be sharing a room that is the primary room of another teacher. For your own sense of sanity, adjust your classroom instructions and teaching techniques. You have no doubt been in situations where circumstances and budgets dictated the terms. For example, you could invite only 75 guests to a wedding reception, and it had to be held in your home instead of at the ballroom of the Palace Hotel. Accept that all things are not the way you want them, and don't obsess about it. Learn to nourish your body and go on, improving the quality of your life. Whatever the classroom arrangement, do not seat students with their backs to you or to the front of the classroom on the first day of school. If you are their focus of attention, as you should be at the start of school, the students will acknowledge your importance and listen to what you are communicating to them. Problems when students have their backs to you. 1. You explain a rule of discipline, and the students sitting in a small group look at each other and roll their eyes toward the sky. They have just invalidated the rule by their defiant actions. 2. You explain a procedure, and half the students must turn around and write it down, and then turn around again. You have just invalidated the procedure for teaching procedures. 3. You explain another procedure, and you cannot tell if half the students, with their backs to you, understand because you cannot see them practicing the procedure. You have just invalidated a routine of making sure students are learning. Go B. Assorted seating configurations. Different activities have different seating arrangements. Various seating configurations are in the Going Beyond folder for Chapter 14 at EffectiveTeaching.com. Seating assignments. The effective teacher assigns students to their seats on the first day of school. Don't make finding one seat on the first day of school a frustrating treasure hunt. The task should be over in a matter of seconds. It is not a topic for class discussion. It should be a closed issue because you are the teacher in charge of the instructional program. When you wish to rearrange the room furniture and equipment, or the seating, deal with the changes in the same expedient way. You will have a much more effective class most of the time if you assign students to their seats. For group work, you should assign students to their groups and then assign the groups to their workstations or seating arrangements. If you are hosting a dinner party with guests at 3 separate tables, for instance, you don't ask your guests to get their own utensils out of the drawer and then sit wherever they please. If you are a good host, you tell your guests where you'd like them to sit. Airlines, theaters, and restaurants, the good ones, will designate a seat or seat you in a chair of mutual choice. Do likewise in the classroom. You are the teacher, the conductor, the facilitator. Reasons for a seating chart. 1. Facilitates role-taking. 2. Aids name memorization. 3. Separates problem students. Seating assignments are sometimes made for social and behavioral reasons. When you do not want certain students to sit together, separate them. Before going to an assembly, say, "Please wait for me to place you before you take your seat." Seating assignments will help expedite role-taking, which should be done without interrupting students during the bellwork assignment. Seating assignments are not permanent. Use small sticky notes with students' names on them. This will allow you to easily move a student. Seating assignments and seating arrangements should not become issues in the classroom. Student success and the instructional program are your major focus. The effective teacher, 1, arranges the seats to expedite the task at hand. 2, assigns seating on the first day of school. 3, has all the seats facing the teacher for the activities of the crucial first day of school. 15. How to start a class effectively. The key idea: have an assignment ready and posted when the students enter the classroom. Your first priority when class starts. Your very first priority when the class starts is to get the students to work. Many large department stores have a greeter as you enter the building. They welcome you with a nice smile and say, "Would you like a basket?" and all but push one into your hands. You take it because they want you to have this basket, and it's big because they want you to fill the big basket and spend even more. And you feel so good because your presence as a potential customer has been acknowledged. Effective teachers do the same. They greet students at the door with a smile and say, "Here's your assignment." The students take it and get to work right away. That's why these teachers and their students are so successful. This is no fantasy. It happens every day in thousands of classrooms. The students walk in, sit down, and get to work. No one ever tells them to do this. In some countries, it is the teacher who goes from class to class. Regardless, the students are in the room, and they all know what to do. Daily and in the same place. Your first priority is not to take roll. It is to get the students to work immediately. It is no different in the private sector, even for the students who work part-time. Workers do not stand around waiting for directions or asking questions like, "What do you want me to do?" They are expected to begin work at the appointed hour. When class begins, you can easily get students to work if three criteria have been met. 1, they have an assignment. 2, they know where to find the assignment. 3, they know why they are to do the assignment. Common sense and research on the effective classroom emphatically tells you to post your assignments every day. Post the assignments in the same place every day. Even if it is the same assignment, post it. Once they know the assignment is in the same place every day, there is no need to waste class time for students to ask, "What is the assignment?" or "What am I supposed to do?" Assignments are to be posted daily and consistently. 1, post an assignment before the students enter the room. 2, post the assignment in the same location every day. Sample assignments. For the students to get to work immediately, an assignment must be posted. Sample elementary assignment. Spelling. 1. Number your paper from 1 to 15. 2. Take a practice spelling test. 3. Exchange papers with your spelling partner. 4. Correct tests. 5. Write words missed 5 times each. Sample secondary assignment. 1. Review criteria for haiku. Use chart on board or see page 76 in text. 2. Compose a haiku about winter. 3. Give it a one-word title. The title cannot be used in the body of the haiku. Are we doing anything today? The ineffective teacher keeps the assignment a mystery until it is announced. It may be announced in different ways and posted in different places each day. Sometimes there may be no assignment, even though the students ask for one. This may be because the teacher does not know what should be done, what students are to learn, or how to teach it. You can always identify classes where no assignments are posted. Ineffective teachers say things like this. "Where did we leave off yesterday?" Translation, "I have no control." "Open your books so that we can take turns reading." "For what reason?" "Sit quietly and do the worksheet." "To master what?" "Let's watch this movie." "To learn what?" "You can have a free study period." Translation, "I do not have an assignment for you. I am unprepared." The textbook is not the curriculum. Having students fill in worksheets to keep them busy and quiet is not the curriculum. Teachers who have no curriculum follow the textbook page by page, cover to cover, and look for busy work for the students. When this happens, you have students who walk into the classroom and say things like this. "Are you going to show us a video? Are you going to read to us? Are you going to lecture to us? Are you going to let us have a study period? Or worse yet, are we going to do anything today? Are we going to do anything important today? Did I miss anything important while I was absent?" In classes where students make comments like these, they take no responsibility for their work. The teacher is the only responsible person in the classroom. That's why they ask the teacher what is going to happen. They look to the teacher for direction, for entertainment, and for work. 1 month of instruction lost. Shirley Hoard of the Southwest Educational Development Laboratory discovered that 3 to 17 minutes are wasted at the beginning of each class period each school year. That is, from the time the first student enters the classroom until instruction actually begins, wasted time can range from 9% to 32% of total class time. Assuming 10 minutes are wasted per classroom period, that translates into 1 hour for a 6-period school day.